Welcome to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista, where we chat with industry leaders and get their take on the challenges facing the market. And maybe we'll have a little fun along the way.
On this week's episode of the Marketing Stir podcast, Matt Dacey, VP of Global Marketing at TripAdvisor, joins Vincent to discuss his experiences working in a re-emerging travel industry in the wake of the pandemic.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello and welcome to another episode of Stirista's The Marketing Stir. I am your happy host, Vincent Petrofessa. Look at my happy shirt. This is from the Dad Collection at Kohl's. I'm kidding. It's not from Kohl's. It is, but I'm happy. It's a new shirt. And to go with my joyous personality, at least I tell myself that, it is great to be talking to you again. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. I was at an event this past week in the Hamptons, very fancy, the Hamptons in Long Island. And there was a gentleman who came up and said, "Hey, I listen to your podcast. I know you. Thank you." That was great. It was just one person, but hey, we're getting there. We're getting there. It's a small event, nice, intimate event, but it is great to be speaking to you again. I felt like it's been a while. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. If you're just listening, this is the Marketing Stir from Stirista. Who is Stirista, you ask? Let's talk about us just for like a few seconds. That's all. Yeah, that's it. We don't take advertising in this podcast. We just talk about us for a little bit. Stirista, we are a marketing technology company. We own our own business-to-business data, business-to-consumer data, and we help companies access that data through different means, right? We own our own email sending platform, our own DSP. Reach out to me, vincent@stirista.com. Also, today, we don't have my co-host with me, Mr. AJ Gupta. Where is AJ? Well, he's probably hanging out with some of my relatives. I think he was just in Europe doing something. Who knows? But he definitely is going to miss this podcast because it is another amazing guest with a company that I know, you know, and I use. I actually have used this. It's not all the time that we have a guest on where I actually utilize their services. I'll get to that in a moment. But what's been up with me? Just getting out of the summertime, right? I have this tan still. Hopefully, I'll carry this through October, November, December. Probably not. But I've been going to different events. I'm going to an event. So by the time this comes out, I should be. Come see me at the B2B Sales and Marketing Exchange East in Alpharetta, Georgia. That is October 1st through the 3rd. I think Stirista's maybe a sponsor of something there, and we get some passes, discounted passes for people. Maybe I'll throw that code out. They're just like, invite, you know, 10 of your closest. No, how about I throw it out to the podcast listeners? So maybe I'll give you a code. If not, who knows? But I will be there. And one of my other colleagues will be there as well. Come see me. Enough about me. You don't care. You care about the guest. And we have, like I said, an amazing one today from a company called TripAdvisor. Aha. I told you, you know it. I use it. I know it, of course. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty about TripAdvisor with a fellow Northeasterner. Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President, Global Marketing, Matt Dacey. What's going on, Matt?
Woo!
I know.
Vincent, thank you for having me on. Listen, I listen to this podcast regularly now, and I have to say you bring the energy. And so on a Monday at noon, which is when we're recording this, there's nobody I'd rather talk to bring the energy for my week than you. So much appreciated. I'm super excited to be here.
Thank you so much, Matt. And yeah, there's no one else right now. I'd love to spend my lunch hour with you. I still have a little coffee left over from a little known Boston company, right? And so yeah, I am, you know, drinking my coffee, having fun with you. Matt, let's get right into it, because TripAdvisor, people know TripAdvisor, of course, for, you know, a variety of reasons, maybe, or just a few, but let's unpack those other reasons, right? But let's, in your words, tell us about TripAdvisor and then your role as global marketing. Like, I'd love to learn more about that.
Yeah, sure. And listen, I'm super excited. I have a privilege here at TripAdvisor. I joined in 2019, and we'll get into my background, I'm sure, but right before the pandemic. But the reason I joined was because the brand in itself is just so quintessential with travel, has been for the last 25 years. Something I'm sure we'll talk about as well is our 25th anniversary, believe it or not, is actually next year. So super excited about that. But TripAdvisor exists to make everyone a better traveler. That is our purpose in the world. We have over 1 billion reviews, pieces of user-generated content to help guide other travelers. And all of it is traveler-related, traveler to traveler, helping one another. And that's allowed us to get to this massive reach where we have millions of businesses on our platform, you know, hundreds of millions of travelers visiting us every single month. This massive reach that we have, which helps obviously businesses in travel, as well as media partners that we have, and then travelers helping other travelers. And so I've got this unique role for a really amazing brand, which I just see as a privilege. And my role specifically is VP of Global Marketing. So my job and my remit is managing end-to-end marketing for the brand TripAdvisor.
You said you started in 2019, right? And then a year later, right? The travel industry kind of turned upside down, right? In a way, and it's like, what a time to start. But again, you know, we'll also talk about now where I think travel is booming, right?
I mean, honestly, if you want to, yeah, like there's bet against whatever I choose to do next, just for the first year or two. I graduated business school right in the middle of the financial crisis in 08, 09. I joined TripAdvisor, of course, right before a pandemic. I think in college, I was in college during the dot-com boom. So every single time I'm about to make a decision, just try to figure out what it is and then do the opposite, just at least for a year or two. And I think you'll end up successful. And so that's, but in terms of joining, in one respect, it's been a fascinating journey, travel in itself, to see the impact that it has on people. Obviously the pandemic forced everybody to stay home. And once it started to subside, the importance of travel, the importance of experiences in people's lives became so obvious and prominent. And so it allowed, I think, everybody that worked at TripAdvisor to have a unique perspective on how important our role is, even helping people understand where they can travel, when they can travel, how they can travel safely, how they can find new places that fit with what it is that they want to do, frankly, with the rest of their lives, because that became a prominent thing. People started creating bucket lists, not knowing how long we've all be here and how important experiences are instead of material things. And so I had that kind of vantage point as I went through the years here at TripAdvisor, and it was bad. In 2020, revenue declined, I think, over 90% in a given month because of the pandemic brought everything to a standstill. And that obviously impacted us at work. It impacted what we do. It impacted our families. But as you said, Vincent, travel's back. It's been back for over a year. It was coming back at very different times across the world, but it is back and it is thriving. And that's exciting to see, obviously, in our role within travel and the role that we can play for other travelers. And certainly it's great for the economies of all these different places that we help support across the world.
Well, yeah. And like you said, I feel like, and you alone at TripAdvisor, like you said, you started 2019, but you've been just a variety of different roles all moving up. So congrats on that and doing different things there. But being part of that growth, I understand it's just the climate and people thinking about going back and traveling because they're like, wait, I couldn't see my grandmother for 2 years. So I'm going to go see my grandmother, for example. But you've also been part of that growth. So what you say it's back, but what was that also like, Matt, where you're like, okay, we lost revenue, but it must have been exciting to get that back and see it growing. And would love to get your perspective on that.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, you can think of a business performance discussion in the depth of the pandemic where we're all meeting as an executive team. We're like, how's performance this week? It's like, it's still down 90%. Nobody's traveling. The entire world's locked down. And so, you know, as a performance-driven marketer, just holistically and a results-oriented person, I would say it was uniquely challenging, you know, month in, week out, to try and drive meaningful initiatives as we move forward and how we're going to think of strategically how we can position TripAdvisor coming out of the pandemic and not actually see that progression in the metrics. And so when we started to see that progression, when we started to see things bounce back and really start to skyrocket in our trends, I think in 2021, especially, and then more last year and the year before, it was exciting. And it's exciting to be part of it. And it's exciting to see it across all factors of the business, those hotels, experiences, restaurants, et cetera. And now we're in this place where, you know, not that it's a great thing, but people are starting to talk about over tourism again. That was the buzzword in 2019. That was one of the biggest areas of issues. And obviously then we had the pandemic, and now we're back to this place, which is how do we help travelers identify more places to go than the most common place that everybody's going to go to and face that over tourism issue. But I'd rather have that problem than the problem that we had obviously in 2020 through 2022.
Yeah. And I love to see it. Like I live in Manhattan, and obviously one of the most visited places in the world, New York City. And I love it. I'm one of those New Yorkers who loves tourism. Some New Yorkers are just like, get out of my way. I'm getting to work. I'm like, all right, man, like this. I love when people come into our city. I really do. I love when people visit. I'm okay with people asking me directions. And I, you know, when I have friends who come visit, Matt, I give them that special list of places, like you said, like not the over tourist places. And a lot of that I got from TripAdvisor. I kid you not. The only time I've ever even reviewed places and gave positive feedback was on TripAdvisor. I kid you not. It's, you can look up my reviews. There, you know, you have access to it. And so with that, I just wanted to kind of understand a couple things, right? I have a lot of questions, but as far as marketers and people, how does one utilize TripAdvisor? Are you working with, you know, other brands like hotels, but who are some of the marketers that are utilizing TripAdvisor successfully? And is it kind of like, all right, I'm going to Spain and, you know, TripAdvisor could help me advertise and learn more about some of the products that would be helpful to me there. I just would love to learn how a marketer, a lot of these marketers listening, a lot of these amazing people and brands listening, how do they utilize TripAdvisor?
Yeah, it's a good question, Vincent. And it's a good question too, in the sense that, so I joined TripAdvisor from CVS Health, and specifically I worked in the front store, and retail in itself is a model from a business perspective that's a bit easier to understand. You know, there's a product, cost something, sell it for more and move it, right? It's the journey is a bit easier, especially in a pharmacy setting and a bit more of a convenience retail setting. And so then when you jump over to TripAdvisor and ask the simple question, which is how do you guys make money? And then you start to learn the complexities of the travel industry, which has been one of the most fascinating, I think, learnings in my 5 years, is just travel's just unique. The customer journeys are unique. The partnerships are unique. How we monetize and how many different businesses monetize across travel is unique. And so TripAdvisor in particular has a number of different partners that are part of our platform and how we think of how we grow business. And so as you alluded to, certainly hotels, you know, we have hundreds of millions of people visiting the site looking for hotels, looking for trusted content to make decisions on which hotels to book. And of course, our partners, the OTAs of the world, direct hotels of the world, et cetera, will participate on our platform from an auction standpoint or from a branding standpoint, where you want to put your brand in front and have the best showing of your brand. And we can monetize that. From an experiences standpoint, we have another company called Viator, which is a fantastic company, the largest experience booking platform in the world, with an extensive supply of experiences that we can provide to customers to book directly. We also have partnerships. You know, TripAdvisor has, again, massive reach across travel. And travel in itself, if you think about it, when people are considering travel, is one of the most positive experiences you can have. You're dreaming of where you're gonna go. You're making plans of where you're gonna stay. The excitement is there. And then travel in itself represents about 20% of discretionary income spent. The 20% of people's spend goes in and around travel. And so we have this pretty kick-ass study that we recently did called Brands We Travel With. And it was intended to give an understanding, especially to brands, other partners, if you think of financial services brands, retail brands, CPG brands, et cetera, about the impact that travel has on driving business outcomes potentially. So a traveler's thinking of dreaming, they're planning, they're doing research. Each of those has associations with brands that aren't necessarily in travel. Like an easy one is that fresh shirt that you have on. You might have bought that fresh shirt for your jersey vacation that's happening next week. And what we find is people spend a tremendous amount of money in preparation for their trip. That could be in financial services, which is, which credit card do I need? How do I access money internationally? How do I think about traveling? Which ride services companies should I consider? You know, which brands should I be thinking about for personal care as I'm going to travel? And what we found, like, end to end across every phase of the journey, is there's different ways that brands can partner with us to drive awareness and consideration of their brand, depending on where that traveler is in the travel journey itself. And so, long story to your point, we monetize very differently depending on the partner: hotels, experiences, restaurants. And then we have partners like the destinations where people are going to travel to, or brands that are completely outside of travel that our customers are actually thinking of as they're traveling. And we represent a really, really obviously a safe and positive place to advertise for those partners.
That's amazing. No, I like the way you break that down. And you also mentioned something about your time at CVS. Everyone also knows CVS, you know, healthcare, health stores. And what did you bring? Because you built loyalty there. You know, how do you bring that mentality, the programs that you maybe implemented there, to somewhere like TripAdvisor, right? Where, you know, it's different. It's not a store you walk in, right? So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good question. And CVS Health, so just for context, prior to joining TripAdvisor, I spent 7 years there. They were fantastic. It's a wonderful organization, and I loved my time there. I exited leading the Extra Care Loyalty Program and then all of our strategic initiatives around personalization, which was a major, major growth engine for CVS Health. And so as you think about where TripAdvisor was when I joined, which in 2019, much of the biggest challenges, and there's a Harvard Business Review case study, which is like one of the reasons I got very excited to join TripAdvisor, because it was at this strategic influx of where do we go next? And TripAdvisor represented a platform that had massive aggregation. So we drove a ton of traffic to the site, and then we optimized to have travelers click and leave, and of course monetize that way. And one of the big changes that needed to occur at TripAdvisor was really focusing on customer engagement, traveler engagement, partner engagement. How do we get people to stay on the platform? Because we know if we can have people engage, our ability to send them high value travelers off to our partners is significantly higher. And that brings me to my time at CVS Health. So one of the funnest, and again, a privilege, the Extra Care Loyalty Program was around for 20 years. It was one of the oldest, most successful loyalty programs in retail prior to me joining CVS Health. And so I take no credit for any of the amazing work that teams did before me. But one of the major things that we did during my time there was kind of flip everything towards the customer, which is looking longitudinally at the customer to understand what motivates a customer, whether it's in retail or travel, over time to help grow that customer in terms of potential revenue, obviously, and profit. And it's starting to think more lifetime value oriented over time and really ground everything we do back to the customer. And so my time at CVS Health was completely flipping everything, understanding who our customers are, what they want, what they need, anticipating what their behaviors are, and then delivering personalization at scale. And so if you carry that to the challenge that we had at TripAdvisor, which is really focused on optimizing people to leave versus engaging on the platform, it's taking the exact same things. What do our travelers need? What do they want? How can we anticipate those needs? And then how do we utilize data and our experience on our platform and off our platform to deliver in a personalized way and help grow that traveler, not in session, not over the next week, but through our relationship over time. And so I can jump on anything, but it really, all of it comes back to what does your traveler want, or what does your customer want? What do they need? How can you anticipate that using data? And then how do you deliver the right communication at the right time and start looking over time versus 1 week or 2 weeks at a time, which is one of the hardest things to do, especially at a publicly facing company.
No, and it definitely makes sense. And now, Matt, I want to take some of the things you said there as well, right? Because, you know, you're talking about gathering all that information, how to keep those users loyal. Can you share with us any stories, any success stories of some of those initiatives that you've utilized there in your time?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the most exciting things that we just launched, right? So I also ran a lot of CRM programs in the past, and part of that is understanding consumer psychology, frankly, and how that works and what unique role that can play in the communication strategies that we have. And one of the most exciting things that I think we did recently at TripAdvisor is we rolled out this concept called Achievements, which is a badge-oriented program. It's part of a kind of a future membership program that we're developing within TripAdvisor that rewards those that contribute to the platform. And not so much a monetary reward. There's a lot of kind of debate on whether that's the right thing to do internally as people contribute to our platform. But there is a recognition and badging system that we built. So when somebody contributes their first photo, contributes their third review to a bakery, fifth review to a hotel, whatever it may be, we recognize that with this whole badging system. And then we also create this, you're two reviews away from the next badge that you can earn. And that whole mechanism, which is a bit of a gamification type mechanism, what we're finding is that alone is 3Xing the reviews for people that are actually seeing any of the achievements communications that we're sending up. So a simple thing around a system and recognizing our travelers in itself is driving meaningful growth in how people contribute to the platform. And of course, the vision of this thing isn't just figure out how to, you know, gamify anything. The future is how do we utilize those badges so other travelers can find travelers on our platform that are like them, filter their reviews and start to actually experience and see, I want reviews from the people that are the best at this or have a badge for that. And so there's a vision that kind of sets up behind that, but that's an example of just engagement. And then you think of your communications you can send out, rewarding people, celebrating people for the badge they achieved, helping them figure out that they're this X away from the next badge. And that's an entire system as an example. And so that's I think a fun thing that we've done recently that is really driving results. I would also say just travel, as I mentioned, is uniquely complex. So in retail, of course, we want to drive visits and then build the basket. And in travel, it's so difficult to know where customers are in the journey. And if they're planning, you might be looking at a trip to Hawaii in 180 days and a trip to Needham, Massachusetts, where our headquarters is next weekend. And then there might be three different things in between. And so if you think of a normal traditional communication plan, I have somebody looking 180 days out and somebody looking 4 days out, and you task a team with saying, listen, I want you to send a personalized message for that entire journey 180 days out. And I also want you to deliver personalized messages for that traveler looking 5 days out. And it's the same traveler. You can the iterations, and it's like, are they looking at a hotel? Are they looking at an experience? Are they looking at a restaurant? Where are they in the journey? Are they dreaming, planning, booking? And so the complexity of that is pretty unique. And so I'd say a lot of the wins we find is our ability to model and predict where a traveler is during that journey, anticipate what will be most useful for that traveler in terms of helping them, whether it's find the next destination, plan that trip, make a booking decision, prepare to be there, or while they're in destination, any phase of that. Every time we put ourselves against that experience and we're able to trigger communications at that right time, we see a win 100% of the time. And that goes back to just how we think about data, how we think about modeling, trying to anticipate where travelers are and how we can actually deliver those messages in a meaningful way that's actually helpful.
Yeah. No, I mean, it makes sense. And I think you're some of the things you're saying, like I've seen people utilize data before in the sense of, a newly engaged file, for example. So newly engaged, maybe that triggers, those Hawaii conversations, right? I think more people having their honeymoon in Hawaii than say Needham, Massachusetts, I would imagine. But I think it's like that, utilizing that data to kind of offset some of that is how I've seen people utilize some of that before. There's something I wanted to ask you because you being global marketing, myself, Matt, when I'm traveling internationally, I feel like there's the bigger push. I see TripAdvisor more, hey, leave a review here, do this, TripAdvisor, you know, you see everything internationally. U.S., is it part of your task to kind of build, keep building that awareness, U.S. bound as well? Because I feel, are you seeing more of people utilizing TripAdvisor internationally, U.S.? I was just wondering.
So I think if you ground yourself in what is the actual value proposition of TripAdvisor, is it the place that you go when you really need to understand? I think you said you had a conference in Georgia in a couple of weeks, right? And are you gonna, you're gonna be there, you're gonna be there for 2 days, you're gonna be in a conference room having fun for 12 hours a day, both days. And it's a requirement for work, right? That's a lot different than your trip to Australia for 2 weeks with two kids that don't like to travel. And you actually have to figure out what to do during that time, which is a lot different than, again, of like a family vacation to see Yellowstone for 4 days or whatever it may be, right? And so if you think of the when we're at our best, it is when you're traveling and considering a trip that has some meaning to you and your family. And you need that unique set of insights and the guidance on our platform to help make a good decision for you and your family, or you and your partner, or whoever it is that you're traveling with, to make the most out of that experience, because time's precious. And so that often over-indexes in longer trips that might be a little bit further out, that are more often international than not. And so because of that, and then because we are a platform that can cover across every category that exists in travel, and people trust us, it is no surprise that an experience or a restaurant or a hotel in an international destination finds it valuable to make sure that the TripAdvisor brand, or they're reflected on the TripAdvisor brand in a positive way. I went to Turks and Caicos recently, and you know, there's a boat, part of the charters right next to our boat, that had a giant TripAdvisor logo on it. I was handed a TripAdvisor card no less than 5 times. For asking for my review, because the importance of that. And so because of that over-index on, you know, those more meaningful experiences, trips, things to do, whatever it may be, you tend to find us more often than not, especially prominent internationally. Now, does that mean we don't care about the short-term trip, or we don't care about the United States? Absolutely not. We are investing in the United States in a meaningful way, try to improve our product, try to improve our experience, try to build our consideration more than just awareness.
And well, you know, and also you mentioned something great, because that TripAdvisor logo, when I'm traveling anywhere, when I'm looking for it, and I know that I'm in good hands. I'm not just saying that, right? Because I certainly had brands on before and companies where I don't utilize their services, but I legit, you know, I remember putting an amazing review for this place. My wife and I stayed in Buenos Aires, Mendoza, Argentina. And it was amazing. And I saw that. You see the TripAdvisor logo, you're in good hands. Matt, let's make a left here, and let's go to some of the easier questions, the personal questions. And before that, a fun one about LinkedIn. It's our LinkedIn question. If you said you're a new listener, thank you so much. We appreciate it. It's a question we ask everyone. It is a question that if we ever miss, I think we missed it once. And there was a person who came up to me at a conference, was like, "You missed it on episode like 17. I'm like, "Whoa, okay, man, this is what Comic-Con must be like for certain people." And tell me about a message on LinkedIn with your title, TripAdvisor being the company as well, a message that resonates with you, gets your attention, you respond. And what's a message, Matt, that you're just like, "I am not responding. This is ridiculous."
Yeah. So yes, I am familiar with the question. In fact, I listened to a podcast recently with one of the people on the platform wrapped a response.
Yes.
Which was impressive. I am not going to wrap a response. That was very impressive though. And so for me, LinkedIn, A, love LinkedIn. B, I do spend a lot of time actually going directly through the newsfeed. And so within the newsfeed, if relevant, my attention can be captured with a kick-ass stat for something that's trending or new or in a platform or something I'm thinking about. Sometimes it's influencers, could be TikTok. It'd be something that is a piece of data or a new piece of research that doesn't feel completely sponsored, or TED Talk or anything related to something that's in a space that I'm interested in. I'm a sucker for that, and I will click through, I will digest it, I will give my information and give people an opportunity to contact me if I find it valuable. Now, 7 out of 10 times, it's not that valuable, but 3 out of 10 ain't bad. And I do find value in the research that people do. And so when those are relevant for me in an area I'm considering, I find that to be impactful, especially real facts and unbiased partners that do the research with some of the companies that push them out. What do I find not valuable, which I know is the follow-up question. I have to say, sponsored messages to me, especially asking me or telling me you'll give me $250 to answer a survey. Anybody that could just not do that anymore forever and save their money. But generally, the sponsored ones are hard because obviously you at least read the first sentence from time to time, but I can't say I found one that resonated with me in all of the time in which I've received them.
I just received one of those, and I actually, I responded and I said, no, thank you, not interested. Is there a reason why? I said, isn't the response enough? I responded to you, and it was about a survey. Same thing, we'll pay like $250 or maybe it was $50. Maybe I got way less than you. And I responded back and still, I said, come on. That's so, yeah, I love that response. I remember the rap. We recently had someone on, I don't even know if the episode was released yet, but it was called, they said, I hate when I accept someone and they hit me with the pitch slap, they call it. And I was like, this is great. This is all great. And I love the answer. Matt, let's get into personal stuff, right? I know you and I were talking because we both went to school upstate New York, very close to each other. And you're, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, Northeasterners, I do gel with my Northeasterners. I'm sorry, other guests on the podcast, you know that. When there's a connection, there's a connection. Tell us about your time up there. Also, you're back in the Massachusetts area now. What brought you back there? What do you like to do on the weekends? What do you like to do for fun?
Yeah, sure. And so I grew up in Cape Cod. And so I'm one with the ocean. I love the ocean. I love water. I love being around it. I'm not living there right now. I live in a town called Carlisle, Massachusetts, which nobody on the entire podcast will know of, but it's next to a town called Concord, Massachusetts, which many people, especially those history buffs, will have a lot of familiarity with. And yeah, I love the Northeast. I did undergrad at Syracuse, grad school at Cornell, upstate New York. Definitely a fantastic place. I'd say an underrated place, one that's absolutely beautiful. Love traveling to it anytime I can get a chance to go back out there for any reason. And so I miss it. Both schools hold a special place in my heart for different reasons, frankly. And what do I do on weekends? I have a 6 and an 8-year-old. So, and my wife and I try to manage life. That's that's what we do. And I love it. The kids are at an incredible age. We just went to Lake Winnipesaukee in New Hampshire for a vacation. And it's just incredible to have a lot of fun with them. I mean, that's much of what we do. And then our whole goal in life back to travel is just how do we start to create the experiences that they're going to remember forever? Well, selfishly doing experiences we also want as well. And so our list is going to start to be growing as they're kind of heading into pretty awesome travel ages. And so I can't wait to start to bring them internationally, bring them across the country, bring them to Hawaii, since Hawaii was mentioned before. We have so many things we want to do with them, and I'm looking forward to it. But that's how time's spent, you know, especially in the summertime, as you have young kids too, and appreciate that the summer can be beautiful and hellish at the same time.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's, I have a 4 and a 7-year-old, and you're right, Matt. It's those ages where it's right about now, like age 4 for my little guy. I remember we discovered this one in New Jersey, Long Beach Island, where I just Googled great places to travel for kids under hour and a half drive. You know how that, it's like that 2-hour drive window that you and I know about where, and we just discovered this place. And again, it's building those. We went international already with them. I just said, yesterday. I don't know if you'll appreciate this because you're in the Boston area and you might not like this guy as much as I do, but I said, I'm going to take my 7-year-old to Canton, Ohio, if Eli Manning gets into the Hall of Fame next year. And again, that's, you know, listeners who are avid sports fans know what I'm talking about with Matt. But so it's those experiences, building those up. And it's amazing. I love traveling now with my two boys and those new experiences because they look forward to it. Who do you think is more excited to go on this trip in a week? My sons, they're so excited. Just going to a hotel is so exciting. So I totally agree. Matt, thank you so much for spending time with us on the podcast. People, check out TripAdvisor. You already know TripAdvisor. Take a trip, look at it. People listening, there's great opportunities there. So take a look at TripAdvisor. Look up my friend, Matt Dacey. You better come with some good stuff on his LinkedIn there. So don't bombard him too much, but he's a great guy doing great things there. TripAdvisor, Vice President, Global Marketing, Matt Dacey. That's Matt. I'm Vincent. AJ's on one of those amazing trips. This has been another episode of The Marketing Stir. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to The Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista. Please like and subscribe. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please email us at themarketingstir@stirista.com.